It is so good to be singing together again, even in a muted way, even with all the restrictions. It is just so good to be singing together again. And can I again thank our musicians, Adrian, and our band and our singers. Thank you so much for leading us Sunday by Sunday. And also the techie folks upstairs. Very often they go unnoticed because everything works smoothly. It's only when things give a bit of a hiccup that we really notice them, but thank you for all of the work that you do, not just on a Sunday morning, but the preparation that goes in during the week. So it's much appreciated. Thank you. We're in that in-between time when we look out through the windows and it's beautifully sunny, and we think, that's a nice morning, and we venture out, and that cold wind would cut through you. It's that time of the year when, and I think this is probably peculiar to folks in this part of the world, when we ask someone else if we will need a coat. I'm not quite sure why we do that. Do you think I'll need a coat this morning? Instead of working out for ourselves, we ask somebody else, will I need a coat? Should I put a coat on? Maybe it's their fault then if we are cold or whatever, I don't know. But we're in the in-between time when we hope summer is coming, but it's not just quite there yet. All the signs are there, but it's just not quite there yet. It hasn't happened yet. Happens in other things too. Friday saw the easing of a lot of the restrictions that we've lived with for quite a long time. Just those beginning of the easing of those restrictions. But the virus is still around. There are still people infected. There are still people dying. And it's a reminder for us that although there is light at the end of the tunnel, although all the numbers seem to be going in the right direction, although the vaccine program is working well, we're not there yet. We're in that in-between time. And I came into the building this morning, somebody said to me, it's great to have a wee shower of rain this morning just to settle the dust. And possibly nowhere else other than in politics in Northern Ireland does dust need to be settled. And we're in that in-between time where we're moving towards some sort of new future, new leadership, but we're not sure what it is. We're in that in-between time. The people to whom Isaiah spoke, and this chapter 43 is one of those examples of him speaking to these people, had the very promise of God that the exile that they were living in would come to an end. There would be an end to it. They would be back home in their beloved Jerusalem. They would see the temple again. All those things which were so precious to them would be restored to them. But they weren't at that place yet. And so they lived in this in-between time. They lived with, maybe, will it happen? Will the summer come? Will we reach a stage where there are no restrictions? Will we have new leadership? Will we go back home from exile to Jerusalem? And all those questions can also create a wee bit of anxiety. So Isaiah speaks to these people living in this in-between time, and this chapter 43 is just packed with reassurance for people who are anxious. It is just filled with reassuring promises and words from God for people who have the promise, but who aren't just quite there yet. Isaiah reminds these people that they've been created by and formed by God, that they've been made in his image. Fear not. He who created you, he who formed you, you're made in God's image. You're not something that is totally random. You're not something that is some sort of accident. You're not something that is dispensable. You are people who are made in the very image of God. I have created you. I have formed you. And I have redeemed you. Fear not. That command again. Don't be afraid. I have redeemed you. I have bought you back again. This idea of redeeming possibly linked with the whole slave trade at that stage, where someone could buy someone else's freedom. They could be redeemed, set free. And God says, you are my people, made in my image, made to be like me. Don't be afraid. I have bought you back. I have called you by name. You are mine. You will be my people is half of the covenant promise, which is so strong for these folks. You will be my people. And then Isaiah goes on to talk about going through waters and rivers and flames, and that God would be with his people through all of that. God would bring his people through that affliction, not bypassing it, not going on some sort of large detour around that water, or that river, or that flame, but being with them, going through it. Why would God do all this? Well, it's the other half of that covenant promise. Verse 3 of this chapter simply says, I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You will be my people. I am your God. That's why God does all of this. This is the God who gives up so much to ransom his people. Gives up Egypt, Cush, Seba, to ransom his people. Why would he do that? Again, you're precious and honored in my sight, and I love you. God just declaring his love for his people. And again, these are people who have turned their backs on God, who have walked away, who have decided, you know what, we know better. We know how to live better than God does. And God simply looks at them and says, I do all of this because you're precious in my sight, and I love you. And then there's this wonderful picture of God's people being gathered in from all corners of the earth, from east and west and north and south. God gathers his people in. Why? Well, again, Isaiah tells us, verse 7. He will bring sons from afar, daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory when I formed and made them. Why were we made and created in God's image? Created for his glory. The people whom he loves, created for his glory. God has done lots of great things for his people. As we have read through the Old Testament, we've looked at God bringing his people out of Egypt, where they were slaves, rescuing them. He has done wonderful things for his people. But Isaiah says greater things lie ahead. You've experienced God's love, but there's more. There's better to come. There's more than this. And so later on, verses 18 and 19 of this chapter, Isaiah simply says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Yes, God has been good to you in the past, but wait till you see what he's got for you in the future. Wait till you see what lies ahead. I'm doing a new thing. Look to the greater things that God is doing. God kept his promises to Israel. And this side of all that's going on in this chapter, we know that God kept his promises and brought them through that in-between time to bring them back to their home. But that was them. That was long ago, far away. What about us? What about us in the here and now, in all that we live in? Well, the good news is that God still makes promises, and God keeps them in Jesus. Listen to some of these promises. The God who created and formed his people, we read in 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. God doing this new thing. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation happening, redeemed. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone who is hung on the tree. Jesus buys us back, redeems us by his death on the cross. Created, a new creation in Jesus, redeemed by Jesus. This promise of being with us through all our afflictions, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. This idea of being ransomed. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The Jesus who creates us new, who redeems us, who never leaves us, who is a ransom for us, the Jesus who gave his life for us to release us not from Egypt or Babylon, but to release us from the oppression of sin. And the promise that God's people will be gathered in. Remember Isaiah saying they'll come from the east and the west, the north and the south, they'll be gathered in. Listen to these words from the book of Revelation. Before me, says John, was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. God's still gathering his people in. That's the promise that lies ahead. And we are still created for his glory. Paul in Ephesians 1 says, in Jesus we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we might be for the praise of his glory. We're still created for his glory. We are people who live in this in-between time, not just because of things that go on around us, but the promise of the kingdom and the fulfillment of the kingdom, and we live in that in-between time, but we live in that with confidence because of the Jesus who ransoms us, who redeems us, who is with us, in whom we are new creations. The Jesus in whom God keeps all of his promises to us. Reassurance for anxious people wasn't just something that happened way back then. Reassurance for anxious people happens here and now in Jesus, who embodies all these things, who fulfills all of these things. But it's not automatic. It's not something that we can just absorb in our lives. It happens when we acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It happens when we open ourselves to that amazing grace of which we have sung. One of our favorite hymns simply has this beautiful line that we have strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Great is thy faithfulness. Where's our strength? Where's our reassurance for today? In Jesus. Who is our bright hope for tomorrow? It is Jesus. In him we have reassurance. But folks, don't just sing about it. Don't just hear it. Open yourself to the very grace of God and experience that reassurance here and now. That reassurance that takes us from this in-between time into the certainties of God's future. Fear not. I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. That is God's promise to you this morning in Jesus Christ. Let's not just hear the promise and walk away from it. Let's grab hold of that promise and know the certainty and the reassurance of being redeemed and called by name. Shall we pray together? Father, we give you anything in our lives, Lord, which would create uncertainty. And we confess that at times we do feel anxious, stuck in the middle, not knowing how things are going to work out. But thank you that your will is good and perfect and pleasing. So work in us by your Holy Spirit, we pray. Lord, reveal to us those areas of our lives where we need your reassurance, where we need to know that we have been redeemed and called by our names. And then help us, Lord, to respond as we bow before you. And may we live our lives to the praise of your glory. Amen.